To 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this morning. 1 Thessalonians 5. And if you're visiting Calvary Chapel for the first time, we are interrupting our study in Joshua, which has been a wonderful time together in the Word and a very exciting time. We will go through, though, a little interruption this morning. We will go through another interruption on next Sunday morning. And in all honesty, let me just tell you right now, this is not one of those messages where you can make fun, you know, and have a good time and be really dynamic about, I guess, if that's what you'd want to call it. Or I don't think you're going to leave here saying, boy, wasn't that just, boy, really, you know, ministered to me. I got to tell you something. We're going to be talking about this thing called Y2K. And I am not going to make any of you happy in this room today. You understand that? This is an issue that is dividing churches. Can you believe that? Dividing churches. It's dividing churches, quite honestly, because people are extremely carnal. When I say carnal, I mean immature and ignorant. It's a sad issue to have to bring up because of that. Under normal circumstances, and let me qualify what normal circumstances would be. If I were Peter Jennings right now, you would have no problem listening to what I'm going to be talking to you about. Peter Jennings has been talking about it. Dan Rather has been talking about what we're going to start discussing this weekend. Tom Brokaw, Wolf Blitzer, CNN, you name it. In fact, some of these news suppliers that you log on to or have delivered into your home have had specials already on Y2K. The only problem is the church hasn't been able to deal with Y2K. The church is dividing on the issue of Y2K. Why? Because the church is immature. The church doesn't know what it's talking about. The church is panicking over an opportunity. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I am not an expert. I'm not Chuck Missler, and I'm not Dave Hunt, but between those two guys, I was positioned a couple weeks ago in New York on a panel. They're experts. Why I was there, I had no idea. I kept trying to figure out why I was there. The call-ins, we were on a radio broadcast worldwide over the net and throughout the entire New York area and the Eastern Seaboard. People were calling in, asking questions for Chuck Missler about certain things and Dave Hunt about certain things, and my role was to answer responses concerning the church. The only problem is nobody called in and really cared about the church. So I kind of sit there and watch those two guys be geniuses for a while and come to the sad conclusion. Are you ready for this? We're pretty good divided in here. This place is almost filled up. So let's say there's about 500 people on this side of the building. Now, don't take offense to this, please, but about 500 of you in the Christian realm, you represent the so-called Christian realm, about 500 of you are absolutely wacko lunatic maniacs. That's who you are right here, okay? Now, on this side, there's about 500 of you on this side, and you don't care what tomorrow is. You don't care what Y2K... You thought Y2K was some kind of a, you know, new cookie or something that you buy at the market. You don't, just don't even care, and you don't even know. Somewhere, like everything, the truth is in the middle. People are panicking and about ready to kill themselves and saying the end of the world is near because of Y2K. Some people are saying, why? What? What's the deal? Paul the Apostle said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you'll have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, verse 4, that's in contrast. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Watchful, that is ready, that is having eyes open and minds thinking. You were blessed last week to have JP here speaking to you. Wonderful thinker. Wonderful Christian man who's making a difference in the world, challenging the Christians to think. This issue about Y2K and the reason why I'm looking at this portion of the scripture is Paul the Apostle was speaking to the Thessalonican church. They were a group of believers. He had only been there 4 weeks on his missionary journeys. Only 4 weeks. And in his 4 weeks, he had spent time on two key areas. One was static coming. Is this thing working? That's the kind of mechanic I am. Can you fix it? Let me hit it. I'll hit it again. Want me to hit it again if it does it again? Okay. Let's back up. Paul the Apostle went to Thessalonica. He was there for 4 weeks. In 4 weeks, he taught them two very specific doctrines. Amazing. Because what we would consider meat and potatoes, Paul the Apostle gave the church at Thessalonica steak and eggs. Something like you can't believe, where we think so often of milk. Well, we should give people milk first when they're new believers. Paul the Apostle at Thessalonica taught them about God with His foreknowledge predetermining, or in His foreknowledge predestination, that is believers who are secure in Christ. God knows them before they ever come to Him. And the other doctrine he gave them was the doctrine of eschatology, the doctrine of future events. That's what you give newborn Christians, I guess. The fact that God knew that you were going to be His, so enjoy that and rest in it. And the other thing is, Paul taught them Jesus could be back at any minute, so be ready. Be sober. Be living your life ready to meet Christ. Listen, Christian, I want to ask you this morning. Remember, you guys are all the fanatics on this side, right? You guys over here could care less. I want to ask you this morning, if you die today, would you meet Jesus Christ on solid ground? Regardless of Y2K. Have your sins been forgiven you? And do you know that? I'm not asking if you've been perfect. I'm asking if your sins have been forgiven. It's a big difference. Are you running to Christ to trust in His offering of blood upon the cross for the sins of your soul? Have you put your faith in Christ that no matter what good works you might perform, even if you gave your body to be burned, do you realize that it does not better your position with Jesus Christ, but you and your relationship with Him has got to be personal and based upon His sacrifice? Do you understand that? That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible implies that hell is going to inherit many good people. Goodness has nothing to do with going to heaven. That's a shock to a lot of people. Paul told them, concerning the times and the seasons, you'll have no need that I should write unto you. Why? Because they were going to be sober, that is sober in their mind. They were going to be diligent in their thinking. They were going to be understanding the times in which they lived. Unfortunately, right now, the church is divided. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the church around the world is dividing and cutting itself off from one another because there are those that are saying that Y2K is going to destroy the world. And there are others who are saying it's nothing to be concerned about. In fact, eat, sleep, and be merry. For tomorrow, it'll be the year 2000. Now, this week and in the week to come, more, I should say, next week, we will get into data that I have here, for example, from the President's Council on the year 2000. We will go through presidential communiques, if you care about what's coming from the President. I just came from Israel last night. They care. They care about President Clinton. Israel wants Clinton to be the next United Nations leader. Now, you may think, well, that'll never happen. Listen. Benjamin Netanyahu's running for office. Got to go by Benjamin's house. We had a driver take us by there. You know, he's not expected to win. You want to know why? I want everybody, both the you fanatics over here, and you guys that are sleeping over here, I want you to listen to this. We're at a very, very serious time. Very serious. And it all begins in the great countdown to what's going on in Israel. Israel has people running for office against Benjamin Netanyahu. Netanyahu says this, I will not negotiate land for peace. No more giving away of land that men and women have given their lives for in Israel. We are as small as we can get. No more land. We're not giving away the Golan Heights. If you've ever been there, you know why. And we're not going to give Jerusalem to Yasser Arafat on May 4th. If you've been there, you know why. We're not going to do it. He said, and he said it again this week on live radio and live television broadcast. He said, Jerusalem is God's capital. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, and we will not move. And they brought right in all of his opponents who are going to be running against him saying, no, we're going to give this away. We'll give that away. We'll give this away and we'll give that away. And the people are cheering. You want to know why? Are you ready for this? I couldn't believe it. It gave me goosebumps. They said, we are tired of war. I understand that. We're tired of conflict. They've had conflict. We want peace. How do you make peace with your neighbors who are not content but to have you driven into the sea? And if you think I'm making that up, you ought to look and see what the Islamic agenda is of those nations surrounding Israel. Is to annihilate them. Read it. Listen to them. Annihilate Israel into the sea, and once they are, you then, as a good Islamic follower, are to begin next with Christians. Understand it. Netanyahu says, no more dealing. We're going to take a strong stand. And those who are running for office against him are saying, no, peace. And what did Jesus say? When they say, peace, peace, then will come upon them sudden destruction. The nation wants peace at any cost. Peace at the sacrifice of truth. Peace at the sacrifice of the blood of their children, at the blood of whatever. That doesn't matter. And Paul the Apostle warned, he says, concerning the times and the seasons, you'll have no need that I should write to you. Times and the seasons that warrant the coming of Jesus for the church. Yes, it's true. No man knows the day or the hour. No man can. And no man is supposed to. But concerning the rapture, God's gathering together the church unto himself. Paul the Apostle told that church there in 1 Thessalonians 5. I don't need to write you another letter. Just keep your eyes on the local events and what's happening around the world. And of all things, Israel's crying for peace. Benjamin Netanyahu says, let's hold our ground and not give anything away. Arafat saying, let's create Jerusalem as our Palestinian capital. And how Rabin, that's his name, isn't it? The one who was assassinated? Is nearly worshipped there right now. Because of his cry for peace. You know who the orchestrator was that brought these men together? Do you know who took them out on some kind of a lawn and signed some documents? Israel wants President Clinton at the close of his presidency to take the UN. Then they'll talk. You don't think the world wants to hear this? Do you think the world wants to hear that? It's exactly what the world wants to hear. There's something going on. This is what Israel's talking about. Bill Clinton. They say, Bill Clinton. He's something, Bill Clinton. What is this? What is going on? You ask in Israel about Y2K, and this is your basic response. Y2K, who cares? A lot of people are taking that approach. What is this thing, Y2K? Is it in the Bible? No, not exactly. I like what Paul says here concerning the times and the seasons. Have your eyeballs open. Be watching and be ready. Be discerning the times and the seasons. The book of Daniel tells us that during the rising up of 10 predominant European world leaders would arise an 11th leader. Do you know what I'm talking about, people? Daniel chapters 2, Daniel chapters 7, 9, 11, 12. Daniel said in the last days of human history, there would be 10 leaders arising out of the ancient Roman Empire. And then an 11th, insignificant one, would rise up and put down 3 or 4 of the predominant speakers or leaders and would exalt himself. Now, you got to understand, I came in late last night out of London from Tel Aviv. I don't know what news you know. I've been listening for 2 weeks to European news. Did you see what happened last week? The 10 leaders of the European nations, the United States of Europe, the USE, they all stepped down due to charges of corruption. Tony Blair and Chancellor Schroeder went on news immediately live. I watched it in my hotel room about how they're going to appoint new leaders. Every one of these countries of the USE. Remember we talked New Year's about the euro that's out there doing its thing? In fact, this last week, the euro, the new United States of Europe currency, has now improved against the dollar. Now it's 1.10 euros to the dollar. It's very close. It was 1.17. It's getting tighter. Europe is saying, don't worry. By 2002, we're going to be able to whip the dollar bill. It will bow to the euro. There's stuff going on in Israel. There's stuff going on in Europe. They're needing 10 new leaders. Israel's crying out for peace. Israel says, put Clinton in as the UN head. Maybe we'll talk about it. The world will do anything to find peace in the Middle East. Jesus warned us about keeping our eyes on that part of the world. He said, keep your eyes on Jerusalem. Zechariah and Jeremiah the prophets, thousands and thousands of years ago, said Jerusalem would become a burdensome stone to the nations of the world. And all those who entangle themselves with her will perish. You think of that. That's 3,000-year-old prophecy. What do you think of that? God told Abraham, I'll bless any person and any nation that blesses you and your nation. Any nation that comes against you and your people, I'll judge. This issue of Y2K. Let's not deny the facts. It's something important enough that the United States President has issued a commission to study it for quite some time now, chaired by Senator Christopher Dodd, who 2 weeks ago stated, if Y2K were today, he said, I would not be flying on an aircraft, nor would I want to be in a hospital room. Senator Christopher Dodd. I didn't say it. Dave Hunt didn't say this. Chuck Missler didn't say it. Charles Stanley didn't say this. Chuck Smith didn't say it. This is Senator Christopher Dodd, who is chair of the Y2K committee for the U.S. Senate. Why is he saying this? Because there has been significant enough data generated by pre-Y2K tests to show that in some areas there are problems. And it would take the next 10 years to discuss all these problems. Military problems. Civil problems. The American Red Cross. Their situation to respond to the slightest mass problems. Slight problems. But on a mass scale. Nationwide. American Red Cross says, we will not be able to respond should things go wrong Well, what kind of things go wrong? And that's where a lot of the problems lie. What are we talking about when we talk about Y2K? First of all, Y2K simply means year 2000. You got that? Now you know. Everybody got that. You got it. But the media's been telling us about this, and I've got to tell you, the stuff that I've been seeing on Fox and on KTLA has been more frightening than anything I've heard Christians talk about, except for some people who call themselves Christians, who I think are just nuts. A couple of years ago, maybe I guess it's about 1 year ago now, I'm not really sure. My niece was getting married in Salt Lake City, and I was up there, and I remember we were going to do this study on Ephesians on Wednesday nights, on the battle, the soldier, the Christian soldier in Ephesians 6:10. So I wanted to buy some combat gear. Remember I wore those clothes for that study to get the point across? And so I walked into this place and said, I want some camouflage. I want some combat gear. Man, this guy here. Oh, yeah. Hey, look at this, man. And he's like, want to buy a tank? The cool thing was, I wound up sharing with the guy, and we gave him a card. And he used to go to church about 10 years ago, but he got his eyes off of Jesus. And he was one of these guys, you know, moved to Montana and store up your beans and buy a bazooka and all this stuff. And, you know, you laugh, but there's people doing this in the name of Christ. By the way, I don't know if I should say this, but there's concern and there's absolute knowledge known by the FBI that there are gangs in cities throughout the United States that are targeting those who are moving out into rural areas to go after them, because they expect so much anarchy internally that should it break out, they're going to go get those who are living out in no man's land. Why? Well, you can pillage people easier. Well, that's why I'm buying a bazooka. Let me see. John 1:9. Thou shalt buy a bazooka. No. I do believe that you are to protect your family and to protect your home. But I do believe also if somebody should knock at the door and they're hungry, you should feed them in Jesus' name. So where do you find the balance? The balance is having a church that's prepared, a church that's ready. Oh, Jack, now we're going to get into the good stuff. Ready for what? Are you ready for my answer? Probably not. I told you I was going to upset everybody in here today. We have an easy out in Southern California. We need to be ready for Y2K. How do we get ready for Y2K? The same way that you would get ready for what Caltech has been telling us to get ready for 30 years. We are way overdue for a 7+ earthquake. Way overdue. By the way, have you noticed how quiet it's been seismically? Doesn't that make you a little nervous? I feel better when our ground moves a little. You know, they tell us it's a good thing, but it hasn't even had a hiccup in a while. They're telling us that when it goes, it's going to go. Do you know how to turn off the gas valve at your house if that thing goes today? Where's your wrench to turn it off with? Is your water heater safely secured? I'm stupid enough. I went down to Home Depot and I bought this parts, but I forgot to put it on. I just thought about that just now. Are you ready for that? Well, I don't think anything's going to happen. Well, what if an earthquake happened? Well, I don't think an earthquake's going to happen. It's like those three monkeys. They got the fingers in their ears, over their eyes, and covering their mouth. Hey, man. Or the ostrich that's got his head in the sand. Look, like last service, if all the power goes out, you should have flashlights, batteries, candles. Because you know what? Even though we don't have tornadoes, not yet anyway, the way the world's going, hurricanes and all those kinds of things, we do have earthquakes. We should have portable radios because we could have a massive earthquake to knock those things out. We should be prepared. We should be able to help our neighbors, don't you think? And this is where we get down to something very interesting. And I know I'm not going to make any friends this morning. I have too much jet lag to feel like making a friend anyway this morning. But you know what? This issue about Y2K. You know, big businesses are spending big money to try to fix the problem. And we go, what problem? A big enough problem for the Bank of America to spend $300 million on. I think that's a pretty significant amount of money, don't you? A big enough problem for General Motors, chief executive officer, to say, we will have manufacturing problems when Y2K comes, and we're preparing for that. A big enough problem that Toyota is going to slow down their manufacturing procedures so that their part production and car manufacturing stays, or I should say decreases in step with their car sales due to Y2K. Man, this is not a joke. It has been rumored. Were you watching the news last week, or did I have to go to the backside of the world to see what went on in Monterey last week? Do you know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. Look, I can't believe this. Does anybody know what happened militarily last week in Monterey? Raise your hand. I'm counting about 10 hands, maybe 20 hands. Did you see the maneuvers by the, who was it, United States Marine Corps and others? 5,000 troops were deployed in Monterey. Did you see, or did I have to go to London to see people running over hedges and climbing backyards of, you know those, they're pretty nice homes in Monterey. With machine guns, radios, helmets, the whole thing. Did you see it or did you not see it? Preparing for, they said, terrorist activity. No, that might be true. Is it internal terrorist activity or external terrorist activity? They exercise the right of eminent domain to run across your lawn with machine guns and lay down behind your hedge. They showed this in Europe. I watched it with my own eyes. I am not saying that this is part of Y2K. I'm just saying we've never seen anything like this before. Regarding Y2K, what could happen? First of all, quickly this. When the computers were being created in their early stage, memory space was very, very precious. And I know that there are people who will say that was not the reason why. And some of them are even Christians, but they're dead wrong because the companies that created the computers, they've said this is the reason. They didn't put in 1966. They didn't have the room. So they put in what? 66. But supposedly they never calculated the fact that it could be 00 someday. And 00 in some applications cause things to go awry. And they've tested this in various applications. And I mean from military down to your local drinking water. Suspended on the refrigerator of my kitchen is an article by a local newspaper, one of ours, stating that a Y2K test a year ago didn't go very well. When I was back in New York last week, or 3 weeks ago, I should say, they ran a Y2K test on 600,000 citizens in New York City. Just 600,000. A little sample of the 9 million people that live there, City Central. And they had 600,000 failures regarding their billing process for the Department of Water and Power for New York. Now you might say, well, so what? Big deal. And that may not be a big deal. But let me ask you something. Next week, as we get into these government printouts and all of bits of information that I'm going to bore you stiff over, how should Y2K, or in what I guess, way should it affect your life as a Christian? And this is what I'm concerned about regarding this church. Yes, have extra water on hand, because we could have an earthquake or we could lose water supply. It's possible. Yes, have food on hand, because we could have an earthquake and we could lose the ability for the stores to be able to computerize the inventory to produce food goods to put on your shelves. Yes, it's good to have candles and these lanterns and things. Yeah, have your barbecue ready, you know? That's a smart thing to do. What after that? Well, move to Idaho. Move to Montana. I've had real Christians say, I'm really praying about where to go, where to flee. Where to get going, where to go. First of all, I don't see it biblically. Secondly, I think with what the FBI is concerned about, you're going to be one of the first targeted for lunatics out there in the desert or out there in the mountains or whatever. But whatever. I think you need to ask yourself, Christian, am I going to trust in God or not? Yes, you have a brain. Use that brain. But you know what? Y2K is almost like a mirror that's coming up. And it's showing people, what is it they're trusting in? You got any money? Yeah, I sure do. Is it enough? Yeah. Been saving it all my life. What if the computers eat it up? That's why I'm going to pull it all out. I'm going to stuff it in my mattress. You know, there's people talking like that. What if somebody finds out it's in your mattress? I want to warn you now, don't look at my mattress. Oh, I'm going to be doing this. I'm going to be doing that. It's okay to prepare, but the moment you begin to get fearful or convey fear, my Bible tells me that perfect love, security in Christ, cast out all fear. Jesus says, take no thought for tomorrow. That implies He'll take care of you. Now, please don't misunderstand me. You had to put your clothes on before you came here, thank God. Well, I'm pretty young, you know. I mean, I'm not. Hey, thank God you have your clothes on. I'm attractive. No, thank God you have your clothes on. You wouldn't have walked out of here, I was naked. You had to think, you prepared. You looked outside, good rain today. You prepared, and you're using your head. But are you trusting God? You see, this Y2K issue is, are you trusting in God and preparing wisely? Or for that matter, are you trusting in God and preparing for an earthquake wisely? Or as in Isaiah 46 verses 1 through 10 talks about, Isaiah there rebuking the nation. He says, you know what? You've carved out images made out of silver and gold and you've trusted in them. You take them home and you stand them up. And you bow down to them. He says, they can't hear you. They can't save you. And he says, don't you know that I, the Lord, have been with you from the beginning of your life to the time now of your gray hair. And I'll be with you all the way through. He says, I'm the keeper of time. He says, I know the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. Do you believe that? And going through the Arab section of Jerusalem, I said, how much is this? The guy says something like, 4.5 shekels. And I said, will you take a dollar? And he said, oh, in God we trust. Isn't that embarrassing, though? It's true, you know. Oh, in God we trust. Have you ever seen him? Yeah. In fact, he has different faces. Franklin, Jefferson, Washington. He's green. In God we trust. Is that true? The scripture says some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will trust in the Lord our God. Yeah, Y2K's coming. I think it's awesome. I'm all excited about it. Because as a church, I think it's a great time to share the Lord. In fact, I think it's a great time to share the Lord even in 1999. Someone asked me, it was another pastor, he said, what are you guys doing about Y2K? And I said, well, you know, I'm going to encourage the people to prepare for an earthquake because we live in Southern California. And then I'm going to encourage them to attend the evangelistic training classes so they can tell everybody about Jesus. Now get a load of this. You mean you're going to use Y2K as an excuse to encourage people to go to evangelistic classes? I said, yeah, you got a better excuse? I use every excuse I can. I use the excuse that their neighbor could die tomorrow. When you drive through Taco Bell, they're going to take your money. You know that? So give them a track with your money. That person could choke on a Dorito the next day. They could be dead. We're living on the fringe of eternity. Well, you know, I've been around a long time, and I've seen things come and go. One time, one day, it will be you who goes. Are you ready? Concerning the times and the seasons, what do you think? We've been born at this time for an exercise? This is an awesome day to be alive. You go through airports. I'm a lunatic. Gary, you have great newspapers in airports. They're from every country in the world. It's crazy. And they print them up in English, you know. And you get a slant on every different thing. And you look at these news articles. Man, you can open your Bible and look into these news articles. Wow. Here's a thing about Libya signing a war treaty with Lebanon. Libya and Persia. Iran. Wow. I can read that in Ezekiel 38 and 39. What's going on? Concerning the times and the seasons, Paul said, I have no need to write to you. He was expecting them to be looking around. Well, Jack, you don't understand, man. I retire in 3 years. Okay. God, stop the program. He retires in 3 years. The one tendency that we have, especially in the West, is it won't come near us. It's not going to happen to us. Be careful. Read your Old Testament. I think the United States is exactly where Israel was in many of its Old Testament books. The prophets, the false prophets of the day were saying, prosperity's coming, buy property, invest. They were, truly, they were saying it. Go for it! Jeremiah was saying, Babylon's going to come and kick our tail. And they threw him in a dungeon. While most of the nation perished, he was taken captive. And many led off into slavery. You might say, well, that was then. That can't happen to America. That's exactly what Egypt said. The Egyptian Empire made us look like a bunch of picnic parties. The Babylonian Empire, King Nebuchadnezzar, was the greatest, strongest ruler on the face of the earth. Complete, pure despot. What he said went. And he controlled 1/8 of the earth, or nearly 1/8 of the earth's land mass. We have power today as a nation based upon one thing. One thing only. We as a nation are feared and revered and looked toward and honored and adored all around the world for one reason only. Travel the world and you'll see it is the dollar bill. They'll smile at you. They'll receive you. They'll open a door for you. They can tell you're an American because you have dollars. And the moment the dollar is not king anymore, watch what happens. And the European Union is committed, and I read it to you on New Year's Day. I read it out of the European publication from The Economist and from Citibank. The creation of the euro is to dethrone the dollar and to establish a new world currency. Isn't it interesting that Jesus said, man will either trust in money or in God? So I need to end this thing. Next week we'll get in, I promise, to this. We have this to get into. I will go through this, highlight, read to you. The United States government, after its findings, gave itself a grade from A to F. By the way, 2 weeks ago, it was on a Tuesday. It was about 2 weeks ago, I think. 3 weeks ago. Maybe you know the day better than I. It was 10 o'clock California time when it was released publicly. Findings of the Y2K situation as requested by the President of the United States. But the military findings were all, of course, and I understand that, but it's just, they just made mention of, were all confidential and top secret and not to be released. And it's not released. And nobody knows. Nothing significant might happen at all. But isn't it a great time to share the Lord? Isn't it a great time to just say to your neighbor next weekend or this weekend, hey, Easter's coming up in a couple weeks. Want to go to Easter service with us? It's going to be at the Quake Stadium. Maybe they're waiting to be invited. Then after they hear the gospel, maybe then you can say to them, hey, you know, Y2K's coming. What do you think's going to happen? Because that's all we know, is what we think could happen. But Jesus we know. Jesus we know about. It was so great. We're all done. It was so great this week to be at the Garden Tomb. You know, Golgotha, Mount Calvary, where Jesus was crucified? Golgotha means in the place of the skull. Looks just like a skull. Two eye sockets and a nose. Even after 2,000 plus years, because it had the name much earlier before even Jesus was there. It's a tremendous looking thing. And about from here to the children's ministry room is the Garden Tomb. It's that close. And it had to be that close. That's what John's Gospel says. Because it was late in the Sabbath day, remember, they took him off the cross quickly and buried him in a nearby tomb, which was in a garden. There's only one tomb they found in a garden. And it was a very rich tomb, by the way. It's huge. A wealthy man. Happened to have been known by some guy by the name of Joseph of Arimathea. He's standing in line. It's a beautiful thing. The English government bought that land. It's an acre and a half. They bought it to preserve it. They bought it way back before Israel was a state again. So it's beautiful. We're well preserved just there. In this big line, the weather was perfect, and a big, big line waiting to get in. And it was the funniest thing, because our leader, our guide, John, they're all from England. John, he says, he's being very careful. I don't want to be dogmatic, about it, but, this could very well possibly be this site, and he's talking about. And I said, I understand you're being very careful about this. I said, that's great. I said, but do you know of any other area that has a skull next door to it? He said, well, no. I mean, that's... Do you know of any other... It's a garden tomb this huge that was being built even, and then immediately stopped. And this is definitely... And it's north of the Temple Mount. No. I mean, it fits. It's the spot. But he was being careful. He knew it was the spot. And it's obviously the spot. And the fun thing was to see people lined up, waiting in line to go inside to see nothing. It's the funniest thing on earth. Everyone's waiting in line. I can't wait to get in there. Next! People are getting their cameras ready, checking their film. All right. Next. All right. Next guy. I'm out of there. Next. You go inside there. There's nothing in there. It's empty. Amen. Just like this book said it would be empty. It's awesome. It's my heart's desire, as it was with the disciples. After Jesus had risen from the dead, they were scared to death. They didn't open their mouth. They were quiet. And then the day of Pentecost came. And they were baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God, says the book of Acts, with boldness. Didn't they roll around on the aisles and swing from the chandeliers? I don't read that in there. It says they spoke the word with boldness. Didn't they take the jacket off and spin it around and knock people over? It says that they spoke the word with boldness. Some of you in here are saying inside, I want to do that. Some of you are in here saying, I wish he would just be quiet. Christians, ask God to baptize you with the power of the Holy Spirit and then go speak. If you don't know how, we have training courses all week going on all the time to show you how to lead somebody to Christ in 20 minutes. Why? Because the Lord could come back. Why? Because Y2K is an interesting time. Why? Because the Middle East is in a very prophetic setting right now. We could go on all day. I have no need that I should write unto you. For concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you'll know. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that as we look to this issue next week, Lord, that you would cause us to be a people like the sons of Issachar who wanted to know. They wanted to know, Lord, what it is that you'd have us to do. Father, we pray that this issue we would be more sensitive to and about. There are those who are preparing greatly, abundantly, and wisely. And I bet people laughed at Noah for 120 years. But he came out on top. There may be those, Lord, that just are just thinking, hey, if there's an earthquake tomorrow, I'll just eat my neighbor's grass or whatever they're thinking. I don't know. And that's not right. Lord, there's a balance. But may we not lose sight of Jesus in the midst of it all. Thank you, Lord, that You're the one that holds time and eternity in Your hands. How comforting. And Lord, should we be here on January 1st, 2000? May the church shine like a glorious star, bringing many, as Daniel said, leading many to Christ. Lord, I pray that You'd bless these people this morning. Fill them overflowing. Cause them to go in peace right now. Shield them. Lord, their attitudes and dispositions of their hearts, be it from the message, from the day, from health, from situations, may it be washed away as they contemplate on You. May they push back the TV, push back the tray, or push back whatever it is. Open the Bible and begin to read. Oh God, if this body, if I myself, we together would diligently seek Your word, there'd be a revival. Lord, revive us again, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.